Today, in most church circles, today is known as Maundy Thursday, right? And so if you went to an Anglican or Presbyterian or Lutheran church, you know that this is kind of what it signifies. I'll talk about that a little bit later on. All right, so John 13, and just to get you an idea, let me give you an overview of what Jesus did today, okay? He starts off the day, and this is actually in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, but we're going to read John, because John has passages that the other guys don't have. But he starts off, there's the preparation for the Passover meal. Then the disciples start arguing with each other about who's the greatest. Then Jesus washes the disciples' feet. Then he identifies who the betrayer was, or is Judas. Then the Last Supper is instituted, right? Well, we have communion, and we'll have it tomorrow. And then he gives us teachings on love, right? A new commandment that I give to you. And then he predicts Peter's denial. And then we have what's known as the Upper Room Discourse. And he spends now time teaching in a much more private setting to his disciples in the upper room. This is after the Last Supper. And he gives a little teaching. And then he leaves the upper room. And he goes on his way towards Gethsemane. And during that time, they leave. He gives some more prayers in John 15 that we're not going to read today. He goes into the abide passages, you know, abide in me and the vine and all those things. And then he, in chapter 16, he goes the teachings of going his way. And then in chapter 17 is the high priestly prayer, right? And this is his last public prayer that Jesus gives. And then Jesus prays in Gethsemane in that evening. And then he's obviously betrayed and arrested, and then he's forsaken, and he goes to the cross. And so this is Maundy Thursday, right? So let's pick up in John. We're going to read chapter 13. It says, "Now before the feast of the Passover, Jesus, knowing that his hour had come, that he should depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And during supper, the devil having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, to betray him. And Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come forth from God and was going back to God, rose from supper and laid aside his garments, and taking a towel, he girded himself about. Then he poured water into the basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel which was girded. And so he came to Simon Peter, and he said to him, 'Lord, do you wash my feet?' And Jesus answered and said to him, 'What I do you do not realize now, but you shall understand hereafter.' And Peter said to him, 'Never shall you wash my feet.' Jesus answered him, 'If I do not wash you, you have no part with me.' And Simon Peter said to him, 'Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head.' And Jesus said to him, 'He who has bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not all of you.' For he knew the one who was betraying him. For this reason he said, 'Not all of you are clean.' And so when he had washed their feet and taken his garments and reclined at the table again, he said to them, 'Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, the Lord and your teacher, wash your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I gave you an example that you should also do as I did to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a slave is not greater than his master. Neither is one who is sent greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. I do not speak all of you. I know the ones I have chosen, but it is that the scripture may be fulfilled. He who eats my bread has lifted up his heel against me. For now on I am telling you before it comes to pass, that when it does occur, you may believe that I am he. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who receives whomever I send receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me.' And when Jesus had said this, he became troubled in spirit and testified and said, 'Truly, truly, I say to you that one of you will betray me.' The disciples began looking at one another at a loss to know which one who was speaking. There was reclining on Jesus' breast one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter, therefore, gestured to him and said to him, 'Tell us who it is of whom he is speaking.' He, leaning back thus on Jesus' breast, said to him, 'Lord, who is it?' And Jesus therefore answered, 'That is the one for whom I shall dip the morsel and give it to him.' So when he had dipped the morsel, he took and gave it to Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. And after the morsel, Satan then entered into him. Jesus therefore said to him, 'What you do, do quickly.' Now no one of those reclining at the table knew for what purpose he had said this to him. For some were supposing that Judas had the money box, and that Jesus was saying to him, 'Buy the things we need for the feast, or else he should give something to the poor.' And so after receiving the morsel, he went out immediately, and it was night. When therefore he had gone out, Jesus said, 'Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him immediately. Little children, I am with you a little while longer. You shall seek me. And as I said to the Jews, I now say to you also, where I am going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, where are you going? Jesus answered, where I go, you cannot follow me now, but you shall follow later. And Peter said to him, Lord, why can I not follow you right now? I will lay down my life for you. Jesus answered, will you lay down your life for me? Truly, truly, I say to you, a cock shall not crow until you deny me three times. Amen. Like I said before, this day today is called Monday, Thursday, usually coming from the Greek word mandatum, which means command. And it's in reflection of verse 34 and 35 that Jesus gives a new commandment to the church. And that's why it's called Monday, Thursday. The church, they do some really weird stuff during these times. The medieval church, you know, I mean, there was all kinds of crazy stuff going on. So we're not going to practice any of these things. And so let's go to the text here. John 13, we see that Jesus comes and in verse 4, the key, he rose from supper, he laid aside his garments, and taking a towel, he girded himself about. And so Jesus wanted to give a final, lasting impression to his disciples. And during the course of the meal, you know, this wasn't before this is as they were dining, Jesus says, you know what, I need to take care of some business right here. I need to show my disciples how they should live their life. He knew, right? He's, you know, this is his last night, basically, you know. It's pretty much over from here. And then he understood the times that he was in, and he realized, you know what, I need to show them something that's going to make a lasting impression. You know, it could be very rightly said, if we don't understand what happened on Thursday, then we'll be very confused about Friday and Sunday. You know, Jesus took the guys aside and he showed them how he ought to live their lives or how they ought to live their lives. And so he leaves the supper, you know, and then he goes about and he washes their feet. Now, generally, because Peter brings this up, he says, Lord, you know this crazy guy. Lord, why don't you wash my head too and wash my hands and take care of this? Well, you know, obviously that wouldn't happen because if you're going to a feast, you're already clean, right? This is, you know, this is not something that, you know, you just like go from out after work, you know, and you go to dinner or something. This is something that you prepare the whole day for and you get to the feast. And so they've already been clean, but the only part of them that would be and dirty would be their feet, right? Because they wear sandals, there's no paved roads, right? And so that's the only thing that's unclean on them. And so it was a customary greeting for the head of the house to wash someone's feet before they came in. If you remember in John chapter 2, when Jesus multiplies, you know, or turns the water into wine, and you know, they said these were the pots that were made for purification. That was the water they would have used to wash people's feet. And this is a very customary greeting that a Jewish person would give. And so if I was the host and I was having a party, a feast, then people would prepare. Obviously, they would, you know, like you're going to a party, you usually take a shower and you do these things. Well, it was more ceremonial back then. And they would come, and the only thing that would be dirty was their feet, you know, and maybe their hands. And so they would use this ceremonial water, you know, to purify them. It was called water for purification, you know, because the Jews were really anal about cleanliness, you know, in these things. So they would wash these things. Well, obviously, someone dropped the ball here, you know, and so whoever was leading this thing kind of messed up, you know. And so Jesus, you know, realizing that, well, the task's not done, he gets up from dinner and he washes their feet, you know, and he, you know, moves in humility. The word, right, if you read there, it says that he girded himself, you know, he poured water in the basin to wipe their feet. I'm sorry, verse 4. He girded himself about. Well, what that would mean is that, you know, they're wearing their robes, and he would actually take his garment, you know, and wrap it around his leg and up about. And so, you know, it's kind of like he's getting down to business, you know, and this was a sign of humility. This is what slaves did. You know, slaves did this kind of stuff. You know, they, you know, a Jewish person would never gird themselves in public. You know, which means, you know, I mean, they would take the whole thing and they'd wrap it around, and it'd be like he's wearing his outer garment like underwear, and he just really, you know, I mean, really raise up his garment. and whatnot. You know, this is only reserved for slaves, and Jesus does this. You know, there are certain things that when you read the scriptures, you have to recognize. A Jewish man never runs. You know, that's why the story of the prodigal son, when, you know, the father is running after the son, you know, is really, to a person that's listening to the parable, is just blown away. You know, that how could, you know, because Jewish men don't run. That's not, slaves run. You know, and so we have this dichotomy of slaves and Jews or free people and whatnot.